The last lecture we studied two prajna paramita of the six prajna paramita. Which is the bodhisattva practice. The bodhisattva, I didn't explain what is bodhisattva. And bodhisattva is a little bit different from Buddha. Buddha is the perfect one. And bodhisattva is the one who is his purpose is, his motto is to help others before he helps themselves. And this idea of bodhisattva is very deep and wide. So in comparison to the idea of bodhisattva, we have some other idea, Saravakas. Saravakas means the Hinayana Buddhist. The difference between Hinayana and Mahayana is the Hinayana Buddhist is concentrated on his personal practice to attain arahatsu. That is Hinayana's way of practice. And Mahayana practice is to help others rather than to help themselves. This is Mahayana way of practice. And those six practices are Mahayana practice or Bodhisattva practice. We count here six, but those six prajna paramita will be summarized in three precept observation and practice of Zen and wisdom. Those are more popular way of counting it, numbering. But it is convenient for us to understand this teaching in six ways, which is precept observation or dana prajna paramita, almsgiving or giving some teaching, and then precept observation, and constant practice or effort to make effort or to make vigorous effort. And practice of them and wisdom, those are the six treasure parents. One more important one is constant, patient practice. But patient practice or vigorous practice will be included in Zen practice or in sila observation or precept observation. It is necessary to be patient or to be vigorous when you practice Zen or when you observe precept. So, those two will be included in practice of Zen or observation of fear. But more original way of counting is to count, to name six practice. And we already explained precept observation and difference between our observation of precept and pre-Buddhistic observation of the precept. And the difference was, as we studied, Buddhist observation of fear is to be born in heaven or to attain something. What's the purpose of precept observation? But for us, Mahayana Buddhists, precept observation itself is viable. It is not to attain the way to attain, means of to attain something. And not only for Buddhists, but also all the religious people, it is very important to observe precepts. Recently, this observation of precepts is slighted and ignored, but this is not the standard. When religion, or especially Buddhism, become more and more philosophical and more observation of the teachings become more and more elaborate and fancy, glory after precept observation, many famous teachers appear and deformation of the Buddhism happened. Whenever some deformation has happened, precept observation was emphasized. In Kamakura period in Japan, there were many famous teachers in various schools, Sendai Shoni, or Eisai Zenji, or Dongen Zenji, or Nichiren, 아니 어아 Before those famous teachers appeared, there were many teachers who emphasized the precepts, observations. And after those unknown or pretty well-known teachers who emphasized precepts, observations, many famous teachers appear. Anyway, as we studied already, precept observation is very important. Tonight, we want to study about constancy. Bigger practice of our way. And patience. How it is important to be patient when we study our way. As Buddha said, observation of this wisdom of patience is more important than even precept observation. here he speaks of precept observation of constancy. Besides the precept observation, and he says, observation to be patient or constancy is even more important than precept observation. And this constancy or patience observation is the opposite of the observation of the constancy or patience is to be angry, anger. And he says, if we become angry, all the virtue will be lost all at once, will vanish. If he is a freak, you know, to be angry, anger is the most dangerous thing. He says you should, you know, feel your head, you know, with shaved with the shaved head. To be angry is like white cloud, like 19, which come out of the white cloud. Usually, the lightning comes from black cloud, like you are. Black cloud. You are not black cloud. Excellence is black cloud. But some of you are red cloud or golden cloud. But you sit in a field of your head, he says, as a priest who has shaved head, to be angry is to see the lightning from the white cloud. The white cloud is supposed to be peaceful and calm, but if lightning comes out from the white cloud, no, there is no virtue of the white cloud. If a priest become angry, all the virtue of the priest will vanish all at once, he says. Anyway, for everyone, it is necessary not to be angry and to be patient. This is very important thing. When we become angry, we lose everything. We lose our point. To come to Tassahara for you is to study our way. But if you become angry with someone, you lose your way. You lose your point why you came to Tassahara. And you will feel to read Tassahara all at once. Yeah. 1 week before, you have no idea of going back to San Francisco. But 1 week after, your mind changes. Oh, I must go back to San Francisco. There's no point to be in Tassahara anymore. You never said. You see, you lose your point already because of just anger. We know how foolish it is to become angry. But when we become angry, it is rather hard to stop it. And it is too late, you know. Try to stop anger when it appears. And so constant practice is necessary. Incessant practice. In your mind, there should not be any gap from one practice to the other. If you have right understanding of our practice, there is no gap between your practice. Observation of study, observation of precept, or dana, prajna, paramita. All those practice is the many faces of one practice. saw, you know, dharma practice and precept observation is not two, just one. So, and then practice is also another side of the one practice. If so, there cannot be any gap between one practice to the other. But your understanding is piece by piece here, a precept observation, here is Zazen, here is dana, out of speeding, you know, here. So, you have, you know, many practices, one by one. And if your understanding is like this, one by one understanding, then in your practice there is gap. But if you understand, if your practice is many sides of one practice, there should not be any gap between one practice and the other. This is so-called constant or patience. To be patient means, you know, to be patient. There is no need to be patient. If your practice of Zen is right, naturally you will be patient. So there is no need to try to be patient if your practice is good. And if your practice is good, right, there is no gap between one action to the other, one practice to the other practice, the other practice and everyday activity. The everyday activity and Zazen is the different side of the one practice. So there is no gap. There is not any gap. In this way, we should understand our way. In Japan, I don't know how many years ago, maybe more than 160 years ago, almost 170 years ago, there were very famous Zen masters. And he had very good disciples called Genmo. And his master was Inishi Osho. This is very famous story. Genmo Osho where one grain of paddy was stuck. White study for 13 years. One pair of study for him. That lasted 13 years. He did not, have any other spirit. He had just one thing. And he wears for 13 years. Very patient person. No one can be more patient than that. 13 years. And we have, that study. We can see that study. Of course, what do you call it?
Yes.
Yeah. Cut over the cut. And it doesn't look like a study anymore. He was famous. Saint George, a cook in the kitchen. And his master was very good. He had many disciples. Many, not disciples, but many students who practiced our way with him. But as he was so poor, he couldn't afford to give them enough food. But students did not leave the temple. So naturally, they had very, very poor food. And the tenderfoot, the cook of the monastery, had very, very difficult time to prepare food for them. But by all means, he did his best. Everyone was very hungry, of course. Some of them were sick. But late at night, many people saw him in his room cooking something special. Late at night, when night bell rang, he was cooking something. And some students told his master that he is cooking something after everyone went to bed. But his master didn't believe that he is cooking something special. So he didn't say anything to him, to his disciples. So the students had a conference one morning and discussed what to do with him, because his master did not believe that they were alive. He always said that will be your mistake. He is not that kind of person. And in discussion, there were many people who saw him cooking late at night. So, and there several people went to his master. Went to their master and told them, so many people were sourcing, cooking late at night. So his master, one night, went to his room late at night and smelled something from inside, from inside. So his teacher was surprised, and he became very worried. And but he had to open the door, and he saw him cooking something. And he asked him, the master asked him, what is he doing? And he said, I'm cooking something here, he said. And, but he said, I'm not cooking anything special, but his master said there. I'm not cooking anything special, but his master said there. Let me see what you are cooking. So, he has to open the lid, and the master wanted to eat, to taste what it is, but the ling also refused it. This is not for you. You shall not eat it, he said. You shall not eat it. And the teacher became rather angry, you know, because he's insisting something, even though he's actually doing something wrong. So he had to offer some a little bit of the food he was cooking, and he took it. But it was nasty food of something. He cannot tell what it is. So it is not what, you know, what do you call it? Goodness? That's what it is. He said, this is special food for you. Everyone said, I'm cooking something special. Yes, I'm cooking something special. This is special food for you. Because there, you know, we haven't not much to eat. So every day, I keep the leftovers. And I'm cooking that now in this way. Some of them is not, is already, gone back. But I'm eating now in this way. So, his master, you know, he didn't know what to say. The next morning, the master went to his room and bowed his disciples. And bowed his disciples. The master said, I'm sorry, I couldn't trust you. This is the good example of the patient peace. Dungo. It is pretty difficult to trust someone, and it is once we are trusted, we should fulfill our duty, whatever happens to us. We should not lose our way just by some something which occurs all of a sudden, like anger. Like healing between people. We should always know why we are here. This is the most important point in our study. We should know, we should have always the purpose of practice. Just to cook something good is not all of our practice. It is a part of practice. But the more important thing is to do it completely, through and through, whatever happens to us. We should not give up. We see many students, if you don't understand me, I leave. This is very silly, you know. Whatever happened to us, once we started something, we should not leave until we fulfill our duty. Without this spirit, you cannot practice our way. Zen is not some technique to attain something. When you are doing something, there is enlightenment, there is the way. When you do something with some purpose, with immutable state, that is true practice, that is your duty, and that is the practice. So to do something, or to cook something good, is not the ultimate go. To give people something good always is the responsibility of the cook in the kitchen, in the monastery. So Dogen Zenji said, cook cook in the monastery is quite different from the cook in the hotel. We should not compare our cook to the cook in the hotel or restaurant. The cook in the restaurant, it is necessary to make something good for the cook in the restaurant, and that is all what he should do. But in the monastery, for a cook, there are some more responsibilities. That is cook in the kitchen. So in the monastery, Chinese, in China or in Japan, the cook in the kitchen supposed to be the most great man of spirit. Without great patience, you cannot work in the kitchen. You cannot have the responsibility in the kitchen. The other day, I talked about the gardener. Tonight, I'm talking about cook. But whatever we do, that is practice. When we realize our position through and through, and when we devote ourselves completely to it, and involved in it completely, forgetting all other things, other superficial things. This kind of spirit, when you do something with this kind of spirit, whatever you do, that is then practice. We had something interesting, you know. Do you know what it was, the black thing, like toothpick, black toothpick? We call it, in Japan, we call it gobo. It is the root of the plant, as thick as this. It is rather troublesome to cut. Like that. But head of the gobo is as big as this. In the monastery, in one monastery, a cook was yeah, he was a very good cook. But as they hadn't not much food, so he had also some difficulty in preparing food for people. The other students brave him off his poor. And people wanted to design this pot. If someone else takes his place, they thought, then we have some more good food. So someone, caught a snake and cut off his head and put it in the miso soup. Miso soup, nasta. And as the nasta was eating, he picked up something funny. And the master called the head of the kitchen. Immediate, come here. What is it? And picking up the head of the snake. That is he didn't do anything. So he just saw the something in his hand, and he realized that, and that was head of the snake. But he wasn't afraid of anything. And he, let me see, what it is, pretending he couldn't understand what it was. And the master gave it, the thing, which is in my little book. And, this is something funny. I know this is the head of Gobo. And he eats. I'm dirty. Very now evident, whether it was Gobo or something anyway. Not all, All just discuss all the cunning plans they found out. All the effort they made was in vain. That kind of attitude is necessary for the people who work in the world. Not only head of the kitchen, but also for everyone. This kind of spirit is musical. So usually we are enjoying hot springs and giving water to the plants and working on ducks and everything. But it is not always so. Something will happen to us. We don't know what will happen to us, when it will happen. Something will happen to us. In such case, we should know what we are doing, actually. When nothing happens, to enjoy happiness and stay here, it's not our way. eva we look like enjoy good summer resort here. But actually it is not so. We will see someday what we are doing. Don't run away from the heart when something happens to us. When the big aspect, we have big aspects in ages. There were many interesting stories. Someone who is supposed to be a guy who behaves himself very good dreamer, run away. And someone who did not say anything and looks like very common Jemata, stays there and perceives their duty and they did what they should do in such case. It is not because you practice Zazen that you attain enlightenment. The practice just to attain enlightenment does not work. It is exactly the same to enjoy hot spring and sitting across the position every morning and evening. You know. And in 1 or 2 months, after 1 or 2 months, he will say, I studied Zen for 2 months or for 60 days. But nothing happened to me. I think it is time to go back to San Francisco. This kind of Zen does not work. It means nothing. If you don't practice it, with some spirit, it is not there. When you have this kind of spirit, how can you be angry so easily? It is not so easy to be angry, because your state is not there, so you become angry. Because your mind is caught by something superficial, trivial thing, you become angry. When your effort is concentrated on the true spirit of Zen, true way of Zen, it is not so easy to be angry. So, when I was school, the head of the university always told us, you should not be concerned about what people do. You should be concerned about what you should do. You should be a friend of heaven and earth, and you should not be a friend of your classmates or your friends. You should not be a friend of human beings, he said. I couldn't understand, it. You should not be a friend of human beings. Your friend is heaven and earth, he said. Now I understand what he meant. When your practice is their practice, including heaven and earth, which includes heaven and earth, that is true practice. You should not be involved in useless confusion, which we have in our human world. This is a very silly thing for us to be completely caught by some trivial things which we do not know when it will happen to us. If we become angry with some trivial things like that, you know, we have no time to practice our way. One after another, this kind of thing will happen to us. This point should be remembered. And we should not cross back some trivia thing. This is the thinking of constancy or patience or thinking of vigor.